Oh yeah, in Rock and Roll Fantasy, I had I got the first Roland synthesizer guitar. It was terribly unreliable because I tried to take it on tour and the damn thing wouldn't work half the time, you know. Wow. Yeah, I even brought two just in case, and both of them screwed up. But that was in the early days of guitar synths, and I was experimenting a little bit, you know. So I got this incredible sound going on the guitar, and I said, wow, this ding, 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 ding. And that gave me the idea of a Rock and Roll Fantasy. I'm keeping it together. Oh, she's gone, gone, gone. This is Paul Rogers in the studio for the original Bad Company's Desolation Angels.
Although the original Bad Company band of Englishmen Paul Rogers, Mick Ralphs, Simon Kirke, and Boz Burrell recorded only six albums together, Bad Company certainly was one of the essential bands that formed the sound of the 70s. American fans in particular were fond to say, "I can't get enough," when it comes to Bad Company's brand of soulful rock. The anticipation from their very inception in 1974 was extremely high due to their individual credentials. You see, guitarist-songwriter Mick Ralphs had been in Mott the Hoople, bass player Boz Burrell in King Crimson, and both drummer Simon Kirke and singer-songwriter Paul Rogers were half of the British blues rock band Free. Led Zeppelin mastermind Peter Grant was the guiding help, propelling Bad Company to a number one album, an international hit, with their debut, Can't Get Enough, and from the opening act to headliners almost instantly. But Bad Company singer-songwriter Paul Rogers and guitarist-songwriter Mick Ralphs admit that after three back-to-back million sellers and tours, the pace was exhausting, and the wellspring of top-notch songs was beginning to run dry.
But there was times like Burning Sky when we turned up for that
songs.
Album.
Yeah.
Yeah, we came right off the road, and then, okay, lads, make another album, yeah. And it was really, really tough.
Going, well, what have you got? Have I got this?
We almost thought, well, we'll record what we've got, but we probably won't release it because we just don't have the energy to give it what we feel it
that's
needs.
That's right.
And
because up to that point, we always had a few songs in, you know, ready for the next record.
Yeah.
That's the title song to the 1977 Bad Company album Burning Sky. Unfortunately, it was about the only song that got airplay in America off of that album. The 2 years off paid real dividends in between that one and March 1979, when the advance copies of Desolation Angels arrived at U.S. rock radio stations, sporting the most eye-catching modern cover of any Bad Company album. Paul Rogers continues.
Well, I think that's, again, that's down to the fact that we took our time and we made a good album. Even the cover reflects care and attention to detail, you know. And it all counts. I mean, when you buy an album, you like to know that, you know, the guys have taken some trouble to package it nicely, you know. It reflects what's inside. I know they say you can't read a book by the cover, right? But, you know, sometimes that's all you got to go on, right? All of the guys in Bad Company were professional musicians who loved what they did. And we wanted to, at all times, to make a great album. You know, whatever we were doing, it had to be a great show or a great album or whatever we were doing. We would always do our best. And I think it's the result of being rested. And it reflects in the freshness of the feel, you know.
New sounds did you put on Desolation Angels? That was the first time that you used these sounds on a Bad Company album.
I think I used a violin string thing on She Brings Me Love. In Rock and Roll Fantasy, I had I got the first Roland synthesizer guitar. It was terribly unreliable because I tried to take it on tour and the damn thing wouldn't work half the time, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, I even brought two just in case, and both of them screwed up. But that was in the early days of guitar synths, and I was experimenting a little bit, you know. So I got this incredible sound going on the guitar, and I said, wow, this ding, 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 ding. And that gave me the idea of a rock and roll fantasy. So I wrote the song around the sound, really.
So that was the inspiration for the song?
Yeah, actually, yeah. Come to think of it, it was. So I did write a song via a synth. Damn.
I got it.
Paul Rogers confesses that he borrowed the Bad Company album's great title, Desolation Angels.
Well, I have to be honest, I lifted it from the Jack Kerouac book. I mean, I couldn't read the book. It was too heavy duty, but I loved the title. But I also felt that it kind of, it summed up somehow how we felt, you know. I mean, we just toured our brains out, you know, and we just, we did a lot. It just sort of summed up the feeling. I remember trying to think of a title. It's always a problem, you see, because you have all of these titles and you need a neat way of summing it up. And it is a bit, it's difficult to find the right thing because you need something that that sums it all up, really. And that really did. Desolation Angels. I thought, wow, that's heavy. And I suggested that to Peter Grant, and he just loved it straight away.
Long time.
Bad Company's Evil Wind had elements of autobiography, which prove once again that the rock music game can exact a high price, according to singer-songwriter Paul Rogers.
Well, you know, I mean, that song is describes what I'd been through. You know, 10,000 miles I did travel, and suddenly I found myself back home, and I had been through a lot. You know, we would travel on, we had this plane, it was a Vickers Viscount, and a beautiful plane, four Rolls-Royce engines, man, you know. It's great. But we used to fly, come hell or high water, you know. And sometimes we used to fly through storms and things, and you'd see right out the window lightning coming from clouds and hitting the ground, you know. And it was pretty scary sometimes. I mean, I remember sometimes the pilot said, "We ain't going up there." And Clive could get hold of him and said, "We're getting on that plane." And we'd all be going, "Oh my God," you know. We had some very dangerous flights, quite frankly, because we're on a private plane, and a commercial vehicle would not have taken off in some of the circumstances that we did.
Are you kidding?
Oh, yeah, I'm telling you. Because we, you know, had to get to the show, you know, and all of that. So it kind of expresses that, you know. I've seen the thunder and all of that, you know. Wow. It's very true. Yeah. So it was kind of like I was saying, it's nice to be home, and you know, evil wind and bad luck and all that trouble just pass me by, man. I'm home.
Up next, Bad Company's Paul Rogers explains how he got the notorious reputation in those days for being ill-tempered. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and more Bad Company and Paul Rogers interviews and live performances at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard with Paul Rogers, Mick Ralphs, and Simon Kirk in the studio.
This is Simon Kirk of Bad Company.
This is Mick Ralphs of Bad Company on the In the Studio program with Redbeard.
Welcome back. In the studio, I'm Paul Rogers with my man, Redbeard.
Look over yonder's wall. Right. Hang on, give me my note, would you? Flew into Chicago, made a good connection, holding up in Rush Street, I'm looking for some kicks, yes! All right! Some action, didn't know how
Company lineup live in the studio, taking it straight off the floor. No overdubs, with a smoking version of Sweet Little Sister, which originally appeared on Run With The Pack. Welcome back. I'm Redbeard in the studio. Bad Company's million seller, Desolation Angels. Paul Rogers seems keenly aware of being appreciative for the fans that Bad Company has retained since their inception 4 decades ago.
I mean, you know, I feel very privileged to be in this position, and I like to share it with the audience. You know, I like them to be part of what we do. If there's 4 members in the band, I like to think that the audience is the fifth. You know, they're very much part of it. And you generate a lot of energy that way, and everybody is happy, you know. I find that an audience loves to sing. They do. It's like if you've ever been to, when you were a kid, you went to a dance for the first time, you would stand on the side and look at the chicks on the other, and everybody would be standing and nobody would be dancing, but they'd want to, you know. And it needs a little impetus, you know, to get you going. And once you're going, you can't stop, you know. So it's a little bit like that. It's really great when the audience sings. It's a wonderful thing. I think we still have a need for that, you know, to like be together and focus on something. And the stage is that focus, you know.
Life is like a merry-go-round, painted horses riding up and down. Music takes you and you're gone again. Crazy circles never seem to end. Whoa, I will face the sun, leaving shadows far behind. And together we'll go on through time. Oh yeah. Life is just a game of chance. Some find riches and some romance. Some find happiness and some find sorrow. Some find it today, yeah, and some maybe tomorrow. Oh, I will face the sun, leaving shadows far behind. And together we'll go on through time. You aim for heaven and you wind up in hell. To all the world you're living like a king, but you're just a puppet on a broken string. Whoa, I will face the sun, leaving shadows far behind. And together we'll go on through time. Life is like, life is like, crazy circles going round and round, crazy circles going round and round and round. One day you're up. Yeah.
Company's Crazy Circles on Desolation Angels could only have been written by taking a much-needed break from that musical merry-go-round, according to singer Paul Rogers.
And in a way, it reflected the tour album routine of things that we had been doing at that time.
Does your choice of instrument to compose on in general affect the resultant song?
It's a funny thing. I find that synthesizers give you an enormous range of sounds, but I've never really been able to create much on them. It's like colors in a painting. There isn't the depth there, you know. There isn't the room sound. It's very clinical. So if you pick up a 12-string guitar, you have a mood there instantly, you know. You can travel in time almost, you know. Or a piano, you know, you start to play a piano and you have the whole orchestra right there at your fingertips, from bass to high level, and you can just sit the voice in there somewhere. And I find that much more creative, you know.
In spite of great superstar success, a considerably more mature, wiser Rogers explains his moods back then.
I don't think I could handle it. I was not a happy person within myself. I didn't know myself. And I was still growing up in lots of ways. It's a shame, really, because looking back now, I guess I could have just sat back and just enjoyed the whole thing instead of, like, going nuts.
Some of us feel that we spend the first half of our life trying to figure out how we want the second half of our life to really be.
Or we spend the second half of our life wondering about what the hell happened in the first half. Yeah, I mean, you know, things happen. I don't like to dwell too much on the downside of things. I mean, I think, you know, I'm very proud of the things that have come out of my past, you know, and I'm really pleased that the songs are still there and they've still survived despite all of the sort of whatever hype and stuff that was surrounding them. That's a real pleasure for me. And I think, you know, I'm much more calm within myself and I'm much happier now. You know, I'm a zen person, man, you know. I've got it together headwise.
City, what can I do? I'm falling in love. I'm just an old hound dog roaming around. Oh Lord, I got all this in heaven above. Whoa, Atlanta, hear me calling. I'm coming back to you one fine day. No need to worry, there ain't no hurry, 'cause I
Bad Company's Toe Tapper, Oh Atlanta, appears on the March 1979 release Desolation Angels. It was written by guitarist Mick Rouse. Still to come, Mick, drummer Simon Kirk, join Paul Rogers in tribute to a fallen mate. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, on Twitter at Redbeard Rocks, and more interviews and live performances at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio with Bad Company, Desolation Angels.
This is Simon Kirk of Bad Company.
This is Mick Ralphs of Bad Company on the In the Studio program with Redbeard.
Welcome back. In the studio, I'm Paul Rogers with my man, Redbeard.
Thanks again, guys. One of the song highlights of the album Desolation Angels, Gone, 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 came from infrequent contributor Boz Burrell, Bad Company's lovable bass player. Here's singer Paul Rogers.
Boz, we'd always encourage everyone to write if they possibly could. And he finally came up with this song, and it was a very good song. You know, he was quite... He was quite pleased with it, but very shy about it, you know, as you are when you... He suddenly found out what it's like to expose yourself, because you do. When you write a song and you say to the guys, here's a song, you know. I mean, there's always a chance that everyone goes, oh, man, I don't like that, you know. And you're going to feel about this
that,
big.
No.
Yeah, you can't think too much about that. Mm. But it was a good song. I remember we did a serious edit on it, because it was... The choruses were too long, and we just did a little edit on that one, and it kept it rocking, you know, and kept it interesting.
Together.
Company with the definitive live version of the late Boz Burrell's Gone, 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 an in-the-studio exclusive from the July 2013 Dallas-Fort Worth stop on Bad Company's 40th anniversary tour. Sadly, it would not be long before Burrell himself was gone. Eulogizing Boz is first Paul Rodgers, then Mick Ralphs, then Simon Kirk.
He's always very, very together. I mean, he's a great bass player.
Fantastic.
A really good guy. I mean, when the thing I liked about Boz, and you get to think about it on reflection, don't you? You know, when someone's passed, you remember all the great things about him. And he was a very melodic bass player, you know, very musical.
Taste, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, he would, it wasn't just dum-da-dum-da-dum-da-dum. It was like do-do-do-do.
It was very melodic, wouldn't it?
Yeah, he would know. He would play lead sometimes and then drop down to lock with the bass drum. And
it was just a different take, wasn't it? He had a different approach, which is that's what we liked about him.
I'll tell you what, you could take Boz anywhere and there's always someone who knew him.
I know.
You could go to bloody Newcastle or Swindon, walking down the aisle. Hello, Boz. Hello, Squire. Yeah. You all right?
No, we all think very, think fondly of him, and we all miss him, obviously. I hadn't seen Boz for a number of years when I heard the news that he'd passed.
He was living out in Ibiza, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I hadn't seen him for, I think, the last time.
It was 12 or 15 years since we'd been in.
Long time.
We hadn't worked together for a long time, and then he got into his jazz. And then he moved to Edinburgh in Scotland and played with a soul band. And then he moved to Spain, I think, somewhere in Spain, for the climate, because he was getting his joints off.
He always loved Ibiza, though, didn't he?
Yes.
He always used to go there.
It was like the sun.
Yeah.
So probably when I got the call, it would have been 12 or 15 years prior to that I'd actually seen him and been with him. You know, people like that, you think they'll live forever.
1999.
Huh? And the interesting thing was...
1999, yeah.
So but the interesting thing was that when he died, we hear that he was actually teaching someone a bass part.
He was actually playing the guitar.
Isn't that amazing? And it was completely out of the blue.
He just fell off the stool with
and
the guitar
just slid down. Yeah. And that wasn't unusual.
No, that was what he would have done anyway.
You know, so that's in a way...
He fell off.
He went out.
I don't think anybody thought he was... Yeah. He was serious. They thought he didn't get out.
He slid under the table.
Yeah. But he actually had a guitar in his hand, I remember. Because he was always trying to tell me how to play jazz, and I hated it, because I didn't want to know.
Dweedly-doo!
He'd say this E-flat 7th, Squire, with a flattened 5th and all this. So I don't know what it is. I don't know what it sounds like. I don't want to know what
he
it is.
He did get a bit jazzy towards the end, dear old Boz.
But bless him.
Yeah,
he was a wonderful chap.
The love and affection for each other, as well as the music, is so obvious now that it begs the question, why did Bad Company ever stop? Paul Rodgers reminds us that at the dawn of the 80s, rock bands were heading out into uncharted territory, and not everyone was coming back.
It had all become a bit...
Well, when Bonzo died, and I just felt we were flying too high.
Yeah.
Something had to give, and I just wanted to come off the road and...
I think if we hadn't stopped, something terrible might have happened to him.
Yeah, because we were out flying out there, weren't we, really?
Yeah.
It's like, whew.
I think Paul saw the red light before we did because we wanted to keep going. But in retrospect, we needed to just pull back and reflect on what we'd done. You know, when you're going along at that pace with that amount of interest or money or accessibility, whatever you want to call it.
Becomes an industry.
Becomes an industry and you become part of it.
Itself. Yeah, it's a big
you start
turning.
Beating yourself up.
Not worth it.
No.
And I think, by the same token.
So you had to put the brakes on and thank God you did.
Getting back together, we know within half an hour. If it's going to work, and it does work, and the times that we've reunited, it's worked.
But we get together now because we want to, not because then it was like, well, okay, lads, come off a 3-month flat out tour, go and write some songs, do another album, then do another tour. It's like I'm not complaining. We had a great time, but the pressure. Oh, I think it all just culminated around that time. The business can do that to you, and if you don't watch out, it'll crush you. Because that was another
it'll
band.
It'll just eat up your life, But I think it's good. I mean, looking back now, I can look back on it fondly, really, because there's some great memories, and we survived.
Yeah.
And we're still here, and we can still kick it out there, I think, fairly well.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It's very enjoyable these days.
Thank you.
came down. Thought I could handle it, wouldn't do me no harm. She was a young girl, stars in her hair, rings on her fingertips, a diamond so rare.
Final recording in 1998 by the original lineup of Bad Company, that is Mick Ralphs, Simon Kirk, Paul Rogers, and the late Boz Burrell. I'm Redbeard, back in the studio after this. This is Redbeard in the studio, thanking my guests Paul Rogers, Mick Ralphs, and Simon Kirk. In the Studio is written and produced by yours truly, Red Beard, for Bearded Fish Productions. Copyright 2014, all rights reserved. Transcription by Jane Carpenter Brune. Theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and check out lots more at inthestudio.net.